Amen. Amen. I'd like to say again tonight, it's such an honor to be here. It's good to hear Brother Robert sing again. Thank God. Glad to see Brother Bob Hagen. Me and Steve and Bob Hagen, we've been through two or three different countries. Hey, and a lot of miles through the in some places. It's pretty rough, but boy, God's been good through it all, hasn't he? Amen. Amen. I'd like to say it's good to have Brother Watson and his church with us tonight. Amen. We thank God for you. I appreciate you praying for me. I feel like I'm one's getting revived. Thank God. It's been fun. Amen. Thank God. Have I got it on? Charles, you're going to start turning. Okay, amen. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 11. Chapter number 11 of the book of 2 Kings. We thank God for His many blessings. And my, how the Lord has, I just can't say how good it's been to be here these last few nights. And thank God just to get to be around Brother Jeff and his dear wife and you folks. And we were here a long time ago, me and Steve, or Steve and me, however you're supposed to say that, back in the 70s, I guess. And I guess in the 70s, wasn't it, Bobby? Hagen, he's our memory bank. Me and Steve were old, senile. He's our memory bank. But anyway, we was here a long time ago and done a night about. And the first night, Steve preached on Monday night. And we just had a good time. Boy, he preached, and he always does. I mean, he's my favorite preacher, thank God. Not just because he's my brother. But I tell you, I love to hear my brother preach, and I thank God for him. I appreciate you staying, because what you see in the pulpit is what he is to house. And but anyway, the next night we came, and they had announced that he'd take a night, and I'd take a night. And I don't know who the gentleman was, and I started there, and he said, you going to preach, or you going to fool around tonight? And I said, I'll probably just fool around. He's a preacher. Amen. I don't remember who it was, but I've always got a kick out of that. But after service, he said, you did preach, didn't you? I said, well, I tried. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, for some verses in this chapter. There is such a message in this scripture. It's nothing new to many folks, but I thank God for the church. I praise God for the night that the Lord saved me on that paper machine. And when it comes Sunday morning, I found my way down, or Wednesday night rather, because I got right on Sunday night, early Monday morning, about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. But on Wednesday night, I made my way to church. I had such a desire. I just, man, we just had to go. And I remember one Sunday evening, we had went to church on Sunday morning, 1970. Four, I guess it was, when there was a gas crunch on, and if I remember correctly, you only could buy gas on an even day tag and an odd day number on your tag. And we had a Crown Victoria, whatever the name of the car was, old big old Ford. We went to church and come back home, and it got down up in the evening. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, well, I said, that car's sitting on empty, and it ain't our day to buy gas. And well, she said, what do you think we'll do? I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's just try it. We crawled in that old car, lived down in what they call Buzzard Roost down in Canton, and was going all the way up to head of Crusoe to Meadow Grove Baptist Church. We cranked that old thing up and started up that road, and I'm not kidding you, it was sitting on empty when we left. We went all the way to Crusoe to Meadow Grove Church that night, Brother Bobby, made it all the way back to Buzzard Roost. Made it all the way out the next morning to get some gas. I'm telling you, brother, when you've got a desire, and God puts that desire in you to be in His house, and I don't know of anywhere that I love better than I love church. Thank God. Pray for me tonight. I sure do need your prayers. I appreciate all God's done, and it's just been such a glory and a joy to be here this week. And verse number 1, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash the son of Ahaziah and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him, and his nurse in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house." I'd like to speak to you tonight on this thought in verse number 4. Or verse number five, rather. And the priest gave a charge. And the charge that he gave to the guard, to the soldiers, was to keep, to be keepers of the house of the Lord. This chapter opens with the meanest grandma that's ever been. Everybody knows the story about Athaliah. And Athaliah, when she got the news that Ahaziah, her son, was dead, she, being the daughter of Jezebel, had the same heart, had the same character, had the same desires that her old mama had when Ahab was married to her. And we know that God's judgment fell upon Jezebel, and God's judgment in this scripture is going to fall upon Athaliah. But she goes into a rage. And when she goes into a rage, Brother Robert, she begins to kill all of the seed royal. You see, I don't know if she knew of a promise that God had made to David, because David had been promised by God that there would never fail to be a seed, a son, a person, thank God, to sit upon the throne of Judah. Athaliah didn't know that, but anyway, she began to kill the seed royal. And this fella, Ahaziah, his sister, she came and she swooped old Joash up, and the Bible said she hid him in the bedchamber. Somebody said that maybe wasn't a bedroom. It might have been where they stored the night gear, where they stored the quilts and the blankets and stuff. But anyway, he hid her, or she hid him, down at the house of God. And when the Bible tells us then that he was hid of her for 6 years. 6 years. And we know that we have almost seen, and I don't know exactly how you're supposed to compute it, but I think we're coming up close to the 6,000th year, and amen, but thank God. And then on the 7th year, in a few minutes, the king's son is going to be revealed. Thank God. I mean, can you imagine? For 6 years, this young fella had been hid in the house of God, and the people didn't even have a clue that he was in the house of God. The people not only didn't have a clue that he was in the house of God, but the rest of the priests didn't have a clue that this young fellow was in the house of God. And Joash, he is the king's son. He is going to be, in a few minutes, he's going to be pronounced as king. And thank God, can you imagine that for 6 years, he was in the house of the Lord, and the people didn't know it. I wondered, when I was reading this a while back, I wondered what it would be like to go to church for 6 years. Because the Lord said, thank God, he said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my midst," or together, he said, "there am I in the midst." And I began to wonder, I thought, how would it be to go to the house of God for 6 years, and the king, thank God, is there. I mean, brother, and he's a picture of the Lord. I mean, they went every service that they were supposed to. They went to the temple, did what they were supposed to do. And brother, little did they know that all the time that the king was there, and they didn't even have a clue. Brother, these people that go to church, and they don't even realize that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's right there. Amen. And we come, sometimes we sit through a service, and we get, after the service, we go home, and sometimes we say, you know, that wasn't much of a service.
But thank God the king's son was hid for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, he was revealed.
Amen.
Do you remember the first time that Jesus Christ was ever revealed to your soul?
Amen.
Can I just testify a minute? In 1973, in 1971, I left Fort Bragg with about five other guys. We bought all the... And God, help me, I'm ashamed. I was not right with God. We bought all the beer we could get on Fort Bragg. Went to Fayetteville, bought some liquor. Bought us some more beer. Got to Conway, South Carolina. Got our checks cashed. And we bought some more. And we went on to Myrtle Beach. Going to have a big weekend. We got down there. We got into a motel. And everybody said, boys, let's change clothes. And we'll go out there and play in the water. I said, I got to call home. And I'm ashamed of this. And I called home and I went down on the street because we didn't have cell phones, young folks, in the 1970s.
Amen.
But I went out there, and to show you how a sinner thinks sometimes, I said, operator, I'd like to make a collect call to Waynesville, North Carolina. And I gave her the number. Margaret, my wife, answered the phone, and I said, what's she doing? She said, me and Kenny said, we're over here at Mama's and are going to Mama's. And I said, she said, are you coming home? I said, no, I got to work. And she said, you're not going to get to come home. I said, no. She said, where are you at? I hear cars. I said, I'm on Bragg Boulevard. I was standing on Ocean Boulevard. Well, she said, I wish you could come home. I said, I wish I could too. I was lying like a yellow dog. And we hung up, Brother Bobby, and I hung that phone up. Went up to that motel room, me and one of them's son, one of them was a congressman's son, and I don't remember one of them, he was old, the football player's uncle, and you know, they was big shots. I was poor, trash as short of the world, but anyway, we got up there, and we drunk some more, and they said, let's go down there and rent us one of them mats, you know what I'm talking about, that you get on and you can float out there, and I said, boys, I can't swim. And they said, don't worry about it, we'll take care of you. So I went down there like a fool that I was. I paid whatever the price it was to get that thing. We got out there on that water and I laid down on it. I said, what do I do? They said, you just kick your feet and said you'll go in. Now, I'm a hillbilly, born and raised in the hills of North Carolina. I've never been to the ocean. I saw it one time, and that was up in New Jersey, and I just seen it from a distance one time. And anyway, we got out there, and I was kicking my feet, and I didn't know nothing about undertow. I'd never heard the word, what is that, where the water comes, and it just does this, and I can't remember what they call that, but anyway, tide something. But anyway, I was out there, and I remember one of them was named Wiley. And I said, hey, Wiley, I said, you're just going to have to help me. And they said, you'll be all right. And brother, I just kept washing out, washing down. In a few minutes, I looked around, and those friends of mine that said they would take care of me, they were coming out of the water, and they were laying down on the sand. And there I was, every time I kicked, I'd go in 5 feet, and the tow was pulling me out 10 feet. And if you've ever been down there years ago, they used to have a lighthouse pier, and it was a great big old long pier. And just before I got out to the end of that thing, and I started way up yonder, just before I got to the end of it, there was a little girl. I can see her today, Brother Jeff. She had black hair, and she looked like them girls used to, my sisters, that looked like you'd kept a bowl over their head and had cut their hair. You know, and had the bangs. You remember what I'm talking about? And I said, little girl, will you help me? And she said, no. I said, please, little girl, I can't swim. And she said, no. She said, if I try to help you, she said, I'll drown too. She swam away. And so I'm washing out. They tell me you can't sober up in a hurry. I've got news for them, buddy. In a few minutes, I was past the lighthouse pier. And about that time, I looked up back toward that sand, and And there's a lifeguard. He stood up on one of them big old ladder-looking things. And when he stood up, I was getting at that and hanging on with everything I had. And I waved. I saw him come down from there. He run and he hit that water. He come out to where I was at. He finally got to where I was. He was give out. And he said, can you swim? I said, no, sir. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from North Carolina, the mountains. He said, I should have known that. He said, don't you know there's fish in this pond down here big enough to eat you? He didn't have to scare me. I was done scared. And he said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, you people come down here. He said, you ain't got a clue. He said, right under where you're at right now. He said, there's a reef. And he said, if you fall in and you get on that undertow and it takes you up under that roof, under that reef, you will be there until the tide goes out. Well, anyway, I said, can I help you? And he said, no. He said, you just let me take you in. He said, you just ride and I'll carry you. And brother, he began to get that thing toward the shore. I got up, and it was about June or July. There's people everywhere doing this. And there's looking at me, thousands of people. And I walked up on that water. And man, I tell you what, I didn't care who there was. If a president had been there, I didn't bother me. Because I was so glad to feel something solid under my feet again. And I walked up through there, dropped that old man. And my old buddies, them old drunks I was running with, they're still laying up there dead to the world. I went straight to that motel room. And I got in there and I changed clothes, and all of a sudden I remembered that I had just got through calling my wife and told her I couldn't come home because I was at Fort Bragg. And my goodness sakes alive, I mean to tell you, I can't tell you how I felt going through that time. But anyway, I finally got home, and I was wanting to check that mail because I remember then when you make collect calls, this bill comes. Time went on. I got saved. And my kids wanted to go to Myrtle Beach one time. So we took them down there. And there's the Lighthouse Pier. Hadn't been down there in a long time, Brother Jeff. Me and Margaret was walking one evening. We were going down there and get us one of them flurries or whatever you call them milkshake things. And we was walking down there and that tide went out. And there's that old Lighthouse Pier. Part of it broke off through a storm. And I said, wait just a minute. She said, what's wrong? I said, let's walk right out there because the tide was out, Brother Bobby. I walked out on that old reef of a thing, that old, you know. I walked out there and looked out at that ocean. And I told her, I said, right here is where I was at that day. I said, this is that reef that that lifeguard told me if I went up under there that I'd be dead. And I stood there and I just began to cry like a little baby. Man alive, and I realize what God had done for me, because when I looked at that and I saw how close, how near I was to dying and going to hell. And brother, let me tell you, thank God from the moment that I got saved, thank God, I used to wake up in the night and I'd kick my wife in the legs. I mean, I'd take my toes and scratch at her because I'd be asleep and I'd wake. I'd be going through that and I could feel myself in that water and being drowned and stuff. And I'd do everything I could to get her awake because I didn't want to be alone. I was scared to be alone. I was scared in the night. I was scared in the day. I was scared to be with somebody. I was scared to be alone. And my goodness sakes alive, God was dealing with my heart so bad. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I was just in awful shape. But thank God, in 1973 when I got saved, I've never had that nightmare, not nary time. Thank God since I met Jesus, since the Lord saved my soul, thank God I've never, amen, never have I woke up in the night hours and feel myself drowning in that water. Thank God. But the moment that I got saved and He revealed His Son to me. Thank God. What a day. Robert, remember, I don't know what your past was like, but I do know one thing, you was a sinner. A fellow was preaching several years ago. Me and Steve was sitting on the front row. He said, I know these Reinharts when they was growing up. Said they was mean as the little devils. And said they nobody could trust them. I looked at Steve and he looked at me and he said, "What's he trying to say?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I ain't real sure why he's telling all that. But oh, thank God they didn't count what God's done. What God's done." But he revealed the King's Son to them. And brother, when he revealed the King's Son to them, and one of these days, I've never seen him yet. But I believe I'll know him. I shall know him. If I could sing, I'd sing that by the Prince of the Nails in His Hands. Thank God. But he come on down and he said, he's been here for 6 years. 7th year's coming up and it's time for him to get on the throne. And he gave him a charge. He said, "You be keepers of the house of God." For 6 years, the queen didn't know that the king's son was in the temple. She wasn't a church-going woman. It worries me now when I don't watch TV much. I mean, you know, most of us ain't got time to watch TV much. I'd rather be outside turning something up. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. But they have a commercial and they advertise beer and all that stuff. But they always put them young, pretty girls in there. And they make people think it's this. You can't have fun. They said it just don't get no better than that. And my friend, they don't never show people what's on the backside. They don't never show them. They don't never show them. I was coming through the jail, preaching jail years ago, and walked in through there, and there's an old boy. I don't know why I'm going through all this, but there's an old boy laying there. He looked up, and he said, "Yeah, old preacher." Said, "Old preacher, old holy roller preacher. He's come up here to tell the sinners," and he's laying in the drunk tank. And I walked by him, and about the time I stopped, and I come back, and he turned his face up toward me, and I said, "Mac, is that you?" He said, "Reinhardt, is that you?" I said, "Yeah, Mac." I said, "What you doing?" He said, "I got drunk and they put me in here." I began to tell him, of course, about the Lord. He quit making fun of old preacher then. But anyway, I went on and preached to the other prisoners. Next week, we were at work. They come across a news bulletin on WPTL radio station. Said, "We just found a body. There's a body laying beside a rock wall in Canton. And in a little while," they said, "as soon as we contact the family, we'll give the name." And after lunch sometime, they had the radio on. And they said, "We have just found that this young man is Mac McClure." My mind went back to just a week or two back. I was up in that jail and old Mac was laying in the drunk tank. And brother, we started out together. We run some together. We started dabbing in a little bit of alcohol back in the old days. And oh my goodness sakes alive. And I say to God, that could have been me. I could have been that one that died yonder beside that rock wall. But oh, I'm so glad. Thank God that Jesus Christ was revealed to my heart. Amen. I found out that God loved me. And when I found out that God loved me, I could understand God loving Bob Hagin. I could understand God loving other people. But I couldn't comprehend that God could love somebody like me, because I knew what it was. I knew, Brother Jeff, where I'd come from. I knew what my family was like. I knew some of the stuff I'd done. But thanks be unto God, I found out one night that God came, amen, in this world to save sinners. And God loved me. Oh, and when He was revealed to me, I fell in love with Him. And thank God, this is a relationship that's been going some 40 years. And I love Him more today, thank God, than I did in 1973. But if the King's Son was revealed to him, greatest thing that ever happened to you when you see Jesus. You say, "Did you see Him?" I saw Him by faith. I saw Him by faith. Let me hurry on. Because I won't talk about the keepers. But you see, in a little while, Athaliah, she's going to hear something going on down at the house. And she's going to come and see what all the commotion's about. Your church is like where I'm at. I pastor in Black Mountain. And these folks live all around us. I go talk to them and try to get them in church and stuff. And some of them's by an eye of faith or some kind of something. I don't know what they are. And I still go over there and we try to get their kids to come to Bible school and stuff. And But they'll ride by, they'll mow their yards, and there we are, going into church. And sort of like Billy Canoy said one time, he said, when he was a teenager growing up in Daniel in Greensboro, North Carolina, he said, he used to ride them old boys. You remember us old folks, we used to circle Charlie's place and just ride, you know, from one restaurant to another. Maybe 15 of us buy one cup of coffee so they wouldn't see we was loitering. Nobody didn't drink coffee, but that's the only way they'd let you sit there. But he said, we used to come out there, and he said, you'd come to that stop sign, and I'd look over y'all in that churchyard, and he said, they'd be a standing over there. Said, them men would be a shaking hands, and them men would be a shaking hands and a smiling, and them women would be a shaking hands and a hugging, and them youngers would be a running around there playing. And he said, I used to look over there, and I thought, you know what it looks like, Ed? Looks like they'd come on out here where they could really have fun. They're getting ready to go in that church. It's going to be stuffy in there. That fella's going to holler and scream for about an hour and a half. And Lord, they could be out here where they could really have fun and live. And hey, old Billy Canoy said in about a year or two, he said, I got saved. He said, I was standing in the churchyard one Sunday afternoon. He said, about that time we was a fellowship. And I looked up at the stop sign. There's two young boys sitting over there at the stop sign. He said, I looked over at them boys. He said, it looks like them boys had come to church. He said, it looks like they'd get in right with God where they could really have a good time. He said, you know what the difference is? Thank God you got to be on the inside looking out to know how wonderful it is. Thank God. But when God reveals His Son to you, my friend, He'll capture your heart. He'll capture your soul. You'll fall in love with Him. Thank God. Because nobody can't do me like Jesus. Thank God. Nobody. Nobody can do for me what Jesus has done. He's reached down. Thank God. Saved my old wretched soul. But before He done it, He went yonder to Calvary, and thank God already paid sin's debt. He knew one day I'd be born, and one day I was going to come, and brother, I was going to need somebody. And thank God that night on graveyard, amen, on number 13 paper machine. I'm not a bit superstitious, but God looked down through yonder. He said, I'm going to deal with that fella's heart. But Athaliah, she come see what the commotion was. The Bible said she saw the king. You'd have thought that she'd have went to her knees. But she began to cry treason. Treason. And they surrounded him. The crowd opened up. She come through. And she was slain. Old Athaliah's dead. And they said, God, save the king. And then the Bible said when He was revealed to them, they clapped their hands. Ain't nothing like a Holy Ghost hand clapping it. Amen. I used to sit when I was a little boy, we'd go to church Sunday. I'd hear old Ernest Stiles and some of them old folks up on High Creek, and thank God old J.B. Reinhardt, you know J.B. and old Claude Mills and old George Clemens and that crowd, and they'd get up and they'd testify and just cry. Man, every now and then, thank God one of them would get to clapping their hands, and thank God they'd cry, and they'd get up and testify about how good the Lord was, and they thank God for Jesus dying on the cross. And I'd sit there as a boy and I thought, why would anybody be glad that somebody was done that way? Oh, but I found out, thank God, amen. And since that time, I've had a few hand clapping spells myself. Thank God I've been in church. I've laughed some. Thank God these times God will just touch you and the tears will begin to flow. Amen. It ain't because you're sad, but thank God those are tears of joy. Amen. But old Athaliah, she's dead. And they clap because the king's, thank God's son, is going to reign. But he said to them, be keepers. Be ye keepers. A few things I want to say tonight. He said, keep a watch. God tells us in His Word to watch and pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, it's the most wonderful place. God ordained two things in this world, the home and the church. And as long as the home is what it ought to be, the church is what it ought to be, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. It's glory when the righteous rule. But when the wicked rule, buddy, she's tough. Oh, my goodness. But you see, Jesus, thank God, He said He was going to build His church upon Him, His church upon Himself, the rock, thank God. And folks, let me tell you something. He's had a church in this world, thank God, all these years. And what a glorious thing it is. And how God sent His Son. He died, buried, rose from the dead, sent back to heaven. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. The church was birthed into the world, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And thank God, and the church was established, born that day. And oh my goodness. And brother, she's been going on ever since. And I can remember back when we first got in. I can remember going up yonder to Meadow Grove. And that Wednesday night when I went up there and we come through the door. And they people met me at the door. And sort of like Dennis told me last night. The black guy came with me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I haven't been treated that good in many years." He said, "Those folks, they hugged me." And he said, "They shook my hand." And he said, "Man, they told me how much they appreciated me coming." I said, "Dennis, what else did you expect?" I said, "Don't matter if you're white or black. Thank God, God's still God." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. God don't have no respect to color. I told people, I said, "I'm tired of this racist talk because it ain't nothing but skin deep no way. Because if you cut us, we all bleed red. Amen. When we die, we got a soul and spirit." And so I'm about halfway sick of this black American, African American, and German American, and Russian American. Somebody asked me, said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm an American." Amen. He said, "Reinhardt's come from Germany." I said, "I don't know where they come from. I don't know how they got here. I'm just glad they're here." Amen. "But I am an American." Yes, sir. Amen. But I remember going apart that night and, well, it was good. Well, I sat back through yonder and we just kept going. They asked us to come up in the choir. Me and Steve. Of course, our wives, both of them could sing real well. I got up in the choir and I didn't know nothing about a songbook. And I thought you sung a song from verse 1, 2, 3, 4. But you did 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I didn't know one verse would take up a whole page. And then I come to a place and it said refrain. And when it said refrain, I thought that meant it always said stop. So I'd stop. Real highly educated in the church world. But anyway, go back out of my seat. And up on that front row, there was old Denny Burnett, old Grover Parham, and Grover Presley, and I can't remember, Conway Presley. They was all sitting on that front bench, and man, Brother Bobby, you remember they'd holler, and they'd shout, and boy, they'd holler amen, and I was like a young rooster trying to learn how to crow. I know you're supposed to holler amen, but didn't know where to put it. Me and Margaret sitting back there, we had, Kenny was just a little old bitty feller, and I asked her one night, I said, "You care if I go up and sit with them fellas?" She said, "You might as well go on. You ain't no good to me." I didn't know her and him was in the church. And I come up there and them fellas are sitting there. And here's them Reinhardts. They come from Hogpen Branch, come to Crusoe, and won't take over. And I asked them fellas, I said, "You just care if I sit down here?" And I done that. And I scooched in there and Steve scooched in there. And there we sat. And every now and then old Denny Burnett would holler, "Amen, preacher!" I'd look at Steve and Conway would holler, "Amen, preacher." And I'd look at Steve and Steve would look at me and nothing to holler, "Amen." And thank God the next time I hollered, "Amen," I'd say, "Amen, preacher." We're just a shouting and having a big time. Thank God all I know was them fellas acted like they was enjoying it. And I sure was enjoying it. But thank God I learned when they said amen, go ahead and holler amen. And brother, let me tell you, thank God from that moment on, I said, "Lord, if it gets any better than this, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand it." And do you know why? For 40 years it's been better. Thank God it's got better every step of the way. Oh, being in the church, thank God's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Amen. But they call me brother. Call Steve brother. Lord, we ain't never been treated quite like that. But what a time. I went to work. I was reading John. I said, "I'm going to read John 11. So I started reading John chapter 11. I read a few verses and I was bawling. Worked on a paper. Anybody ever been in a paper mill and seen a paper machine? Nothing but steam blowing. Anyway, I'd read a few verses while I was waiting on another roll to come off, and I'd cry. It took me a week to read John 11. When I got down to where it said Jesus wept, I run in behind them old steam heads behind the paper machine. Steam of blowing them gears of sound and just laugh. And I hollered just as loud as I could holler. And there wasn't nobody heard a word. But oh, and I run back up there. Thank God it took me a week to read John chapter 11. I stand there one night reading that and I was just a bawling. Man, God was tearing me all to pieces on the graveyard shift. And all of a sudden I looked up and there's an old fella by the name of Ralph was standing right across the conveyor belt looking at me like, "You poor little old fella, you must be having an awful time." There was. He's just over a bawling. Him and his wife must be having problems. I started to say, "Fella, you don't know, thank God, what it was. I was getting in there. I mean, thank God I was having the time of my life. Being God would go to meeting on the graveyard shift. And brother, let me tell you, God was real. And I was bawling like a baby. It wasn't because there's trouble at home. It was because I was saved, thank God. And there was glory over yonder at home. Amen. But I tell you what, thank God, when you think about the church, he said, be keepers of the house of the Lord, house of the King. Do you know why? Every one of us, thank God, we're supposed to be keepers of the house of God. It's my responsibility. Amen. I belong to Curly Baptist Church. I believe that's the best church in the United States. You say, why? Because I'm the preacher there. Not because of me. But if I didn't feel that way, Brother Watts, I'd be gone. You see, when they ordained Brother Jeff, and I was there when they ordained Brother Hagin. I got ordained in 1976. Old Zeb McDowell said, "Now, Doc, it's going to be rough." He said, "We're going to set you up in front of that church. We're going to ask you all kinds of questions." He said, "You better study up." He didn't have to scare me either. And we sat there and they asked us questions. Ed Mooney, Charles Worley, Zeb McDarris, and my precious little brother, Stevie. Because he was already a supply pastor. Or he was already pastoring, I guess, but then he went to Bingham Heights. In a few minutes, Charles Worley got up and preached the charge to me. He said, "Son," said, "I charge you to preach the word." And he was rough on me for about 40 minutes. In a few minutes, Ed Mooney got up and he preached a charge to Fellowship Baptist Church what their responsibilities was. And I found out pretty quick that when I became the pastor, you see, before Brother Zeb, he'd had to worry about what was going to be preached. All I had to do was just shout and have a big time. But I began to find out because, you see, when people vote me in as a pastor, they expect me to be the pastor. Ain't that right? Don't the church expect your pastor to be the pastor? You got a pastor, I tell you, he wears himself out. You ought to thank God. I've been around Bob Hagin for a long time. And we always tell, we come off Hog Pen Branch, he come out of Tin Can Alley, and it ain't much better, is it? About the same kind of outfit. But when you ordain a preacher, you expect him to do what he's ordained to do, right? Then every now and then the church sets aside a man to be a deacon in the church. And you go through the same thing. You ask him questions. You bring somebody in to preach a charge to the deacon. Somebody to preach a charge to the church. And when he becomes a deacon, you expect him to be, don't you? Amen. But do you know what God expects? Each one of us has been given a charge to be a keeper of the house of the Lord. The church is the most important building in your life.
Bless him, Lord.
Most important building. My goodness sakes alive. Can you imagine what it's like to just be a member of the church and people call you brother and Lord, it's just good, man alive. And people tell their objects and they pray one for another. Thank God you hear them testify and you just love them so much. And but the Lord said for us in his church to be keepers. You see, I want Curly to be the most spiritual church in Buncombe County. I serve a quiet bunch of people. Bobby, you've preached over there. The finest folks you ever met in your life. But every now and then, you say, what do? I just go ahead and shout and have a big time myself. But every now and then, God will come on the scene. Boy, I tell you, it'll break open. Thank God, just have us a great, big, old, wonderful, glorious time. You see, the church is the most important building in mine and your life. This is the place where you come, where you belong, is the place where you go. And how many times have you gone to that church and you've been so burdened down and you have been just like you just beat down and you've come, instead of sweeping through the gates, you've come dragging in. And all of a sudden you've sat there and you thought, my troubles are so heavy. My heart is so broke. There ain't nothing good can happen today. And about that time, somebody sings Amazing Grace. And then in a moment, thank God, there's something begins to bubble up in your soul. And then in just a few minutes, that preacher gets up and he preaches and shouts and hollers. And thank God, gives you the Word of God. And before the service is over sometime, down through there, you'll say, hey, how about if I say a word? And sometimes you just stand up and say, I just want you to know that when I come in this evening, my heart was heavy and I was burdened down and my heart's broken. But I'm so glad that I come to church. I'm glad, thank God, that I came. Thank God, to the house of God, to meet with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank God, I've got a family. Amen. God said, bear you one another's burdens. Amen. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I thank God for the day, amen, that I got introduced to the church. And glory to God, I'm going to stay with the church, amen, until God takes me home. Regardless of what the world does, regardless, Bobby, me and you used to make fun of Maurice Banks when he loses his glasses. We don't do that no more, do we? I remember, I mentioned Denny Burnett a while ago. I was on what they call the roll crew for a few years of my work down there, and we used to change them old big rolls in them machines. We'd load them and unload them and send them off to be coded or whatever they need done. We was out on behind 19 one day, and the fellow driving the tractor was pulling up. And while he's pulling up, Kenny Lear and a fellow we called Little Ed Burnett, they standing there talking. That was uncle and nephew. And they got talking about Denny that had come and witnessed to me when I was at church the first time. And anyway, the old Lear said, he said, I got Denny's trowel. He said, Ed, I got your daddy's trowel. Little Ed said, he named off what he got. And I just stood there a minute. And I said, you fellas care if I tell you what Denny give me? They looked at me so funny, like, how'd you get something my daddy? And I said, here's what your daddy gave to me. I said, I was lost one night. And I come to church, and I said, Denny Burnett walked back there and had glasses with, looked like Coke bottles, tears running down his face. And he looked at me and had big old brick mason, rock mason hands. He reached out that big old rough hand. He got touched me right there on the shoulder. And he said, son, he said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? He said, son, wouldn't you like to get right with the Lord? He said, why don't you come tonight? He said, please let Jesus save you tonight. And I said, boys, I said, I want you to know what Denny gave me. And I said, what Denny gave me? Thank God, he gave me a witness of the saving power of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And about that time I looked, and old Ed, which was Denny's boy, and he's always mean and a junkyard dog, he had big old tears rolling down his face. Old Lear was a crying. Thank God for the trial. Thank God for all the other stuff. But amen, I got more from Denny than both of them put together. You say, what was it? He was a man that loved the church. He was a man, thank God, that was faithful in church. But he was a man because he loved the church, because he loved the Lord. He also loved souls. And thank God, he sent a little old boy. Oh my goodness. And brother, he walked back out of me. And I believe with all of my heart that night, I believe that man really cared. I believe that man really loved me. And I said, mister, I said, please pray for me. I need to get right, but not tonight. My wife run by me and hit the altar. She was already saved. But I'd got her out of church. I went to work, and the rest is, thank God, history. But I fell in love with the church. You see, the church is a place where there's big business done. There's big business goes on here. Your preacher, before he comes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you care if I hold you a Bible? When he leaves here on Sunday night, if he's like me and Hagen and Robert and the rest of us, you go home and you're emptied out. You just poured out. But you go home, and by the time you get to the house, you've already got the book down, seeking God's face for what? What can I say to help my people? Oh, God, give me a service. Give me something for Wednesday night. Because, Lord, if you give it to me and I give it to them, Amen. We'll all be blessed Amen. And we'll all be helped. Amen. Thank God. And, brother, from that time to Wednesday evening, he crawls in that pulpit. He's still flipping through that book. She knows because she's the wife of a preacher. And, my friend, let me tell you something. My wife asked me a while back when I retired. She said, how did you get all this done when you was working? I said, all the thing. I know I worked of a day and run the roads of a night. And I said, she said, how did you do it? I said, well, I was running the roads and working and you was raising young'uns. And so she raised 4 kids just about by herself. And I wasn't out running up and down the roads chasing nobody. But Brother Bobby, me and you and Steve and Jack Johnson, we was running all over Tennessee and Georgia. Thank God, running up and down the roads with Zeb McDyess. I was going to everything I could get in on. And if they give me a hint that they let you preach for 5 minutes, I'd say, thank God, Georgia ain't too far. And brother, we'd get in the car and go down there and preach for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, they'd cut you off. But thank God, it was worth it. It was worth it. Amen, it was worth it. Thank God. And so we raised our children and we took them. We didn't just take them down there and let them out. We brought them like you all do. We brought them to the house of God and we turned them over to God and we let them sit under the old time Holy Ghost preaching. And thank God, I'm going to tell you, they cannot say that they never saw no shouting. They can't say they never heard no preaching. They'll never be able to say, thank God, that they never heard no testifying. You say, why? Because, brother, when I fell in love with the Lord, I fell in love with his church.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Treated me better than anywhere I'd ever been in my life. I visited a boy down at the high rise a few years ago. If you don't know where the high rise is, you ain't missed much. Down in Morganton. It's one of the meanest youth offender camps in the state of North Carolina. It and a place called Lillington. The next step is Central when you get 18. But I had an old feller. He said, preacher, would you care to go with me down to Morganton and see Robert Bobby was his name. I had a nickname, and I said, why, sure. He come down to the house, and we headed off down toward Morganton, North Carolina. Went over to that place, and he said who he was is his grandson, who was looking for him. He said, this is the pastor. And they said, okay. I said, go right over and sit down. We'll bring him down a minute. I looked up, and here's a young man, brother. Jeff and I had preached and taught since he was just a little boy. No more time one, Bobby, you know how it goes. I begged him to get right with God. I loved them young'uns, and I still love every little old young'un that comes through. And I watched that boy come down that elevator, and they had him in shackles, had him on a orange jumpsuit. He walked off that elevator, and that guard, he took the key. He unlocked that, and then he unlocked that. And he let him come over there. And he said, I don't want you taking nothing from them, and don't you give him anything. He come over there, and he sat down there, and his nickname was Pee-wee. Sat there, man, I said, son, how you doing? He said, preacher, I wish I was home. I said, son, I wish you was home too. He said, I said, Pee-wee, I said, is your buddies, have you heard from any of them? And he said, no. I said, has your buddies been down to see you? And he said, no. I said, who's been to see you? He said, just you and Paul. I said, you ever get any letters? He said, yeah. He said, I get letters from Mama and Papa, and I get letters from the church. If it wasn't for the church, I wouldn't have nobody. I said, son, what have you learned from this? And brother, in a little while we had to leave. Watch that little boy get shackled up again on that elevator. And as he went up, my eyes was red, brother, the tears were flowing. He got out of prison, and I'd already left the church, but I went and seen him. I said, buddy, what you gonna do now? You gonna go in there and go for God? He had already found out what the world would do for him. Thank God, he need to learn what God could do for him. Amen. I love the church. I love the church. I thank God for the church. Woo! Oh, I get what my soul needs at the church.
Amen.
I get my fellowship in the church. Best friends I've got, thank God, is at the church. Just every one of us, God says it's in His Word. It tells us we are each responsible for a church. And I remember when we first got in, they had a thing they called a church covenant. I'd never seen nothing quite like that. I couldn't remember if Log Cabin had it up on Hyde Creek or not. But I read that thing. And it says, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully, enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, and discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in all our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of, use of, destructive drugs or intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to shun pornography, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another, glory to God, in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Amen. It sounds like to me, he didn't just write that to the preacher. Sound like to me, he didn't just write that out to the deacons. He didn't just write that out to the preacher's wife. But my friend, every one of us that's ever joined a Baptist church, thank God we said, I agree with that covenant. And thank God I'm going to live by that covenant. You say, preacher, that covenant ain't inspired. I know that. But I say, thank God. I don't know how you could put it much shorter. Amen. That's very blunt and to the point. But I thank God for that old church covenant. It tells me that I'm to be a keeper. I'm to be a keeper of the house of the Lord. It's ours to do our part to keep the word being preached, to keep the word being taught, to win souls. And when old soldiers, John, or what's his name, at MacArthur, old soldiers just fade away. No, old soldiers in the army of God, they just get promoted.
Amen. Right.
But thank God it's our part to keep the church spiritual.
Amen. Amen.
These young people, you may think that they don't know what's going on. But I remember one Sunday at fellowship, there was a lady come out with her two kids, and she wanted to sort of jump on me a little bit, and she said, I don't know why in the world you want to keep these kids in the sanctuary. They don't know what you're saying. She said, well, these kids ain't got a clue what you're saying. And I asked that one little girl, I said, honey, could you tell me what I preached on? Ain't been 15 minutes. She told me the text. I looked at her mom and I said, do you know what I was preaching on?
Amen.
I said, let me tell you something, lady. I said, them kids, thank God they'll never forget.
That's right.
I didn't want to be a smart aleck, but I said a while ago, while I was preaching, you was passing notes. I said, that's your business. Whatever you want to do, send it by mail, email, iMail. I said, that's whatever you want to do. But I said, I'm just telling you, thank God them young'uns, they're getting it.
Amen.
I could remember being a little boy. My daddy used to take us. You ever heard of Ma Sims, Brother Robert? Ma Sims? Big old black woman from over in Nineveh. We used to, our neighbors was Ma Sims, and neighbors right down below us was black, the Charlie Moore family. And I told people, I said, I didn't know you weren't supposed to like black people till I got grown. Somebody told me. But old Ma Sims, they went to the, they called it the Sanctified Church, and my daddy would take us down there up on the hill there in Waynesville. And old Ma, she's, they'd have prayer meetings down there in her house, and man alive. And I was a shouting this old woman, and we was up there one night, and I was this little bitty feller. And I'm not daydreaming, because you can ask my mom, and she'll tell you it happened. But I could still remember, she had me on her hip. She had a tambourine in one hand, and me on the hip with the other. And that old, big old woman, she shouted all over that place. Old Ma Sim shouted, thank God. And I was a-hollered and having myself a ball. You say, what did you learn from that? I learned, thank God, when you're going to shout, amen, make it good. Glory to God. You say, how come you do that? That's the way I was raised, amen. Thank God, I can still remember them people acted like they was enjoying what they was doing. Thank God, they just shout and testify and cry. And, oh, my goodness sakes. And I said, Lord, my goodness, when I got in, I said, Lord, there's a fire up there on that front pew. And thank God, if I can just get up there. And about that time, me and Steve was up there. Thank God, it wasn't long. We were raising our hands, waving our hands, hollering, amen, praise the Lord. And thank God, they said, would you like to join the church? I said, we can. They said, sure. That sounds pretty stupid to say we can, but you don't know where we come from. We joined that church. And then they voted me in Sunday school superintendent. I thought I was the biggest shot that's ever been in the world. You say, what's the matter with you? You see, he was hid in the house of the Lord. And on the seventh year, he was revealed. Yeah. And gave the charge to be keepers of the house of the Lord. Brother Watts back there, he's a pastor at Open Door, from what I understand. He's got precious members. He's got deacons. And I'm going to tell you something. Those folks, as they go through the week, they're praying. They're saying, oh, God, Lord, help our little old preacher. Lord, he needs your touch. And God, we need you. And we need your word. God, just help him, Lord, and give him strength. And Lord, help us, God, to stay there with the book. And help us, Lord, to just keep it spiritual. And God, help us to stay with that blessed old King James. Yes, glory to God. Amen. Amen. If you come and they have my funeral and somebody reads out one of them others, Zeb McDarris said this one time. He said, you take my right foot. He said, you open up that end of the coffin and said, take my right foot. And he said, back them up there and said, take that right foot of mine and kick them. Yes, amen. Thank God. I believe this is the blessed old book. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. But be ye keepers. And I'm going to ask you if you'll stand. It's, oh my goodness, so much more. But I thank God for the experiences we've had at church. The first century church was not a majority. But boy, they sure did love the Lord. We hear a lot about, there's a lot of good, they say good organizations out there. They talk about the Moose Lodge and the Goose Lodge and the Rotary Club and the Boosters Clubs and things. And they, some of them does some good work. I ain't nothing to say about that. But let me tell you who does the good in this world. The church.
Amen.
Thank God. It's the church. And to think that I have an honor and a privilege to be a member of the church. Wherever you're a member of, thank God, God gives you a charge to keep, be a keeper of the church. You're responsible. And one day at the judgment seat of Christ, you got a preacher, he's preaching the word of God. The more you holler, the more harder he'll preach. He'll kill his poor self. His poor wife will be a widow in no time. You say, what's the matter with him? Thank God, have you ever been coon hunting? Yeah. Them old one old dog barked. My daddy would say, that's old Queen. He'd throw the flashlight back to us and he'd head out because he heard old Queen bark. And thank God he'd start hollering and old Queen he'd bark and she'd keep barking. He'd line up where she was at. And with old Brother Jeff preaching the word of God to people here at Stony Fork, thank God you're a holler. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah. Woo, yep. And old Brother Jeff, brother, he lined up on that precious holy word. And thank God he's feeding your soul. And my goodness sakes alive. And you're saying, Lord, it's such an honor to be a member of this church. Thank God. Amen.